All right, if you would turn to Romans chapter 16, it's good to be here again this morning, and did want to put in just a short commercial plug for our Bible conference, which is the last weekend in September. We've moved it around during the month of September, trying to find the perfect time, and with school and so forth, there's never a perfect time unless you're in the summer, but people take their kids out of school for everything else, so we figure they can take them out of the day for Bible conference. But we've been having our conference Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We may go back this year to having it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But if you can come, we would love to have you. Come be with us. We furnish the rooms free of charge. We feed most of the meals. We start out with a meal for every evening meal. And we'll have a great time of fellowship together. And if you're a preacher and could come, I would certainly like to know that early on, and that way we can determine if we have enough preaching slots to go Thursday through Sunday, or we may do like they're going to do here and have more on Saturday. But at any rate, let me know as soon as you can if you're going to be able to be with us. You're all invited, and we'd love to have you there. And it's a great time of fellowship. We always have a church full, and it's really good. And particularly your preachers, I'd love to have you come and preach if you can there at our conference. All right, Romans chapter 16. I'm going to kind of take up where Byron left off there. He was talking about the last part of his message about preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation given to Paul. And what I find today is most people, you know, they want to wear the little bracelets. What would Jesus do? And I saw a bumper sticker the other day said, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." And there's a lot of emphasis today about following Jesus Christ after the flesh. Well, Paul said in Romans chapter 16 that the letter that he wrote to the church at Rome, and of course, it's a wonderful letter. It's in the order of your Paul's epistles in your Bible as the first. And obviously, it wasn't the first written. Some say it was the last during the Acts period. Others say maybe 2 Corinthians was the last. But regardless of that, it's the first in order in the Scriptures. And there's some wonderful truths about justification by grace through faith, and by all the things about man not being any good. And we've concluded all under sin. And when Paul gets to the end of this letter, he says there in verse 25, "Now to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." And so last night we looked at being established according to Paul's gospel. And obviously that's of the utmost importance because that's where it all starts. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so it starts with salvation. It starts with a clear-cut gospel message. And Paul said that to the Galatians, he said there are those that would pervert that gospel. Paul went over to Galatia and he preached the gospel of the grace of God. And when he wrote back to the church at Galatia there, he said, I'm afraid of you. He said, there are those who have bewitched you. And he said, to stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free. And he said, if any man preach any other gospel than that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. And folks, there's a great danger in perverting the gospel of Christ. And Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You have to be careful not to say things that would make the gospel of none effect. A man can stand up and preach the truth of the gospel and turn around and tell people, now, if you want to be saved, you need to come down here and repent and be baptized and completely destroy the truth of the gospel. So the gospel is of the utmost importance. Paul said you need to be established according to my gospel. And then he says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation mystery which was kept secret since the world began. I want you to hold on there and look back in Acts chapter 3, verse 21. two verses that make it crystal clear the dramatic difference in that which was being spoken by the disciples. Peter, James, John, Matthias, the rest of them over there in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 3, Peter's preaching there, and he says in verse 16, "In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness and purpose for y'all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled." So the death of Christ was not a mystery. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was not a mystery. Notice what he said. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That was prophesied in Zechariah 12:10. When God's going to pour out the spirit of grace and supplication upon the nation Israel. Verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you." And that's what they were looking for. Back in Acts chapter 1. They're standing there talking to the Lord. Well, let's just go back there and read it. He says there in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Well, then we know what they were looking for. They're looking for the kingdom being restored to Israel. And he says, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and at the uttermost part of the earth." Well, then that's what they were looking forward to. And by the way, in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Folks, I just want you to get the picture. They understood that there was a period of wrath coming. Amen. Remember what John said in Matthew 3? "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And he said there's three baptisms. He said there's the baptism with water, there's the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and there's a baptism with fire. And the fire baptism turns out to be the wrath of God. People talking about being fire baptized. If they had been fire baptized, they wouldn't be around to talk about it. There's two in the field, one's taken, the other's left. I think the person mentioned last night about the rapture and so forth. Listen, Matthew 24 is not the rapture. Amen. There's two in the field, one's taken. They're taken in judgment. The one's left, the one gets into the kingdom.
Amen.
That's what Peter, James, John, the apostles are preaching. I'll get to the verse I meant to in a minute. Back in Acts 3, he says in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you." Now notice, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, since the world began." Is Peter preaching what has been spoken by the holy prophets since the world began?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Paul said the things relating to the mystery were kept secret since the world began, and yet people want to say they're preaching the same thing.
That's right.
How could it be that one group is preaching something that's been known since the world began, the other's preaching something that's been kept a secret since the world began, and be one and the same? Well, it can't. As we said many years ago, things that are different are not the same. And so the Apostle Paul, he is preaching information that was never previously made known to mankind. Now, what confuses people sometimes is there were many similarities. Both Peter and the gang, I'll call them, the 12 or whoever, were preaching the death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
They were preaching that as proof that Jesus Christ was the Messiah.
That's right.
Amen. When Paul goes into a synagogue and preaches, he also preaches the death, burial, and resurrection.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, had a man tell me recently that Peter, James, and John preaching the same gospel, and it was proven so by this verse right here. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. And by the way, after you get through verse 4, the gospel there, the context for the rest of the chapter is resurrection. Amen. It's all about resurrection. That was of the utmost importance. Verse 5, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. So Paul gives the order of Christ's appearance as proof and evidence of the resurrection. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I were more abundant than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Somebody said, well, see, they're all preaching the same thing because he mentioned Cephas later on. Yes, they were all preaching the same thing in reference to the resurrection. Amen. Not the gospel that Paul preached, not that all men could be saved from all sins, from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. They were all preaching the resurrection. And because there are similarities, people get hung up on that and think they're preaching the same thing. No, Peter said, what I'm preaching was prophesied by all the prophets since the world began. Paul said, you need to be established by the preaching of Jesus Christ according to Revelation mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Amen. So there were some things that Paul preached that had never been made known.
Amen. That's right.
It wasn't the death, burial, and resurrection. That was made known. Mm-hmm. But it's what Christ, it's what Paul said about Christ. He died for our sins. He died for the sins of all men. And we're justified from all things. And therefore, there is no unpardonable sin today. People are saved by the grace of God. Amen. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus Christ was preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, obviously. And so, I want us to look at some things that were said about him there and compare those to the things that Paul said, and also some things that Jesus himself taught that later on Paul taught just the opposite. Look in John, first of all, in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Why don't you get John chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, I'm trying to find a place to cut in here. The context obviously is John baptized. John, verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there one standeth among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched, I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, if you've got any knowledge of the Bible, and I assume most everybody does, you'll understand the significance of the Lamb of God as it relates to the nation Israel.
Yes, yes.
God Almighty told Israel over there in bondage to take the blood of a lamb Read about that lamb back there in Exodus chapter 12, and it typifies the Lord Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb. When was Jesus Christ crucified? Passover. This stuff about Easter, you know, that's the craziest thing in the world. I driving out here yesterday, I said, well, to my wife, I said, Easter is this coming Sunday. She said, what are you talking about? I said, it's the 14th day, April 14th. That's when the Passover was, folks, the 14th day, first month. The Easter it's celebrated today has to do with the new moon and all that kind of stuff. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after a certain day. And it's all based on pagan religion. Ishtar, the queen of heaven, and so forth. And if you want to hunt an Easter egg, just go at it. I don't care one bit in the world. But know the truth about Easter is not Easter.
That's right.
But the Lamb of God, the blood was taken and put over the door. And when God came through, he saw the blood and he passed over. When John saw Jesus Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I want you to look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I want to ask you something. Is a lamb and a man the same thing? No, they're not.
No.
The man Christ Jesus, verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for who? All to be testified in due time. And if you look in Matthew chapter 26 and 28, Jesus Christ said, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many.
Amen.
Not all. That lamb, he said, well, he said it was for the whole world. Yes, it was for the whole world, but there was a promise made unto Abraham that said, I'll bless you and I'll bless those that bless you. And Gentile salvation, folks, has always been available throughout the Bible. It just wasn't available to scoundrels like you and I.
Amen. That's right.
It was available to those that blessed Israel, who would take a place of submission to Israel. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at a bunch of people today that are just like the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Colossians, not worth the gunpowder to take to blow us into hell. And we're the ones for who Christ died.
Amen. Amen.
And he died for all. Whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, male or female, there is no difference. Trust, bless your soul, there was a difference when John was preaching.
That's right.
There was a difference when Peter was preaching. Why in the world do you think in Acts chapter 10, I mean, just consider what we read in Acts 1. Didn't he tell them to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world? He did. Didn't he tell them in the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Well, turn over to Acts chapter 10. Peter must have been one confused individual. In Acts chapter 10, Peter's up there on the rooftop, there verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. By the way, that would probably be according to the law. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending to him. It had been a great sheet and its four corners let down to the earth. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. That call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thereupon on his vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherever you're come? And they need to move on. They explained to him why they're there. Look in verse 28. And he said unto them, now notice, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, for God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Well, now, why would Peter say that in light of the commission he had already received? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord Jesus Christ made it clearly evident in his own ministry that the children must first be fed. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, there's a woman that comes to the Lord and beseeches him to heal her daughter. And you know what? He said, send her away. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And finally, he acknowledged her, and she said, yes, truth, Lord, but the dogs, you and I, eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And that woman received the blessing, and he said, I've not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. You know why she got the blessing? Because she took a place of submission to the nation Israel. You see, Peter, James, and John, there was an order to be followed. He said, when you start at Jerusalem, he's not talking about going to Jerusalem and having 3,000 saved on one day, 5,000 another. He's talking about the nation.
Amen.
Repenting and coming to God. And so until there was that instruction given from the Lord, Peter said, it's an unlawful thing for me to go. Why? Because there was an order that God set forth how that ministry is to be carried out. You know how that differs with the Apostle Paul? Paul said, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, male or female. We're all one. The Apostle Paul, the man Christ Jesus, gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And folks, this is the time.
Preach it.
The Apostle Paul was the due time testifier. Yep. He's the one that stood in the gap, if you will, and for now some 2,000 years has been the message of the Apostle Paul has been preached. And people say, well, where did this dispensational stuff come from? It came from Paul.
Amen.
So where did this group, these grace believers come from? Where can you trace back to, you know, the Presbyterians, they go back to Calvin, Methodists back to Wesley, and the Baptists, they go back to John the Baptist, they go back too far. But the grace people, you know where we go back to? We go back to Paul. And I want you to understand something. There's always been people that's been preaching Paul's message for 2,000 years.
Amen.
Don't get the idea that there was never a time when they were. About the 3rd century, the Catholic Church came on the scene and corrupted that message, and it's been downhill ever since. But there's always been those that preach the truth. And there are those that preach it today.
Mm-hmm.
And they preach Jesus Christ not according to the flesh, but according to the revelation of mystery. One was a secret. One had been made known. John preached Christ as the Lamb of God. Paul preached the man Christ Jesus. Peter preached that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to sit upon what? The throne of David. Look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. And compare that with 2 Timothy chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Well, then that's what Peter expected to happen. That's why he said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from when? The presence of the Lord. They're looking for him to return. At his return, he's going to establish the New Testament, the New Covenant, if you will, Jeremiah 31:31. You can read about it in Hebrews chapter 8. Folks, you're not part of the New Covenant.
That's right.
The New Covenant was made with the house of Israel. Look over in Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, now, we are ministers of the Spirit of the New Testament, according to what Paul said, but not the New Covenant. Look there in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Now, consider how late Hebrews was written. I don't know when it was written. You got these notes, you know how reliable they are, but it was written probably around somewhere after AD 60. I don't know, but at any rate, at the time it was written, the writer of Hebrews, whoever it was, said, this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind, and I'll write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Anybody that believes we're under the new covenant right now, they got to be nuts. Just read what happens. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. I don't think so. Verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Doesn't that sound awfully like Acts 3:19, repent and be converted, your sins may be blotted out.
Amen.
Folks, your sins haven't just been blotted out. You have already received the atonement. You've already received the redemption. They're looking forward to it. And it's at the new covenant. Now, notice verse 13. For those that say all this started back there in Acts chapter 2. In it he saith a new covenant. He made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Well, then had it already vanished away?
No.
Well, then were they still under the old covenant?
Yes.
You better believe they were. Christ is the mediator of a new testament, but that testament is not established until he returns again.
Amen.
Thus, the confusion in the church today is all this stuff about being New Testament, New Covenant Christians. We're not that. We're part of Christ's body. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're one with Christ, and we're not New Covenant Christians.
Amen.
And we're not Old Covenant either. The Old Covenant was still in effect, and it would remain in effect as far as Israel was concerned till their Redeemer returned and established his kingdom and set up that covenant with them. Established that covenant with them.
Amen.
He said he raised him up to sit on the throne of David. That was their hope. Well, notice what Paul says over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember. You need to go through your Bible sometime and look at the things that Paul calls to remembrance. Like in Ephesians 2, remember that you were sometimes Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision, by which is called circumcision flesh made by hands. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, what was that? Look back in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4. In verse 25. Who, talking about Christ, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You ever wonder why he said he was raised again? Why did he say he was just raised for our justification? I want you to hold on here and look back in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible to show you what Israel was expecting at the first coming of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, verse 67, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." He said over in chapter 2, verse 30, the Bible says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." That's what they were looking for, but notice how that was to come. Verse 69, "And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." You see, what they were looking for, folks, was a physical deliverance and a kingdom where they could serve God. Verse 72, "to perform the mercy promised our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before his face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people for the remission of their sins." Do you see you and me in that verse, in those verses anywhere?
No.
Not at all. Verse 69, back in verse 69, he said, "He hath raised up a horn of salvation." You know what Israel did to that one that he raised up as a horn of salvation? They cut him down. They rejected him, they put him on a cross, and they crucified him. Always amazed me back when that movie came out that Mel Gibson did years ago, The Passion of the Christ. The Jews got all up in arms over that because he portrayed the Jews killing the Messiah. Well, Peter said, "Ye, men of Israel, have by wicked hands taken and slain the one that God sent to you." He died on that cross. He went into the grave and he was raised again for our justification. He was raised up the first time for Israel and for their salvation through a kingdom and was put to death. And when he was raised again for our justification, a guarantee that our sins are forgiven.
Amen. Amen.
We're not looking for him to return to get forgiveness. We're looking for him to deliver us from this present evil world. We're not looking for his presence to get forgiveness, our redemption. We already have it because of the gospel of the grace of God and the gospel of Christ and the message given to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
He was raised again for our justification. Now, that's the introduction. Who's preaching next? Brian?
Brian.
I yield the last 15. No. I'm going to wrap this up just shortly, but I want you to think about something. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery. There are 8 or 9, you can combine some of them maybe into one, but I count 9 mysteries, maybe 8, that Paul mentions. He talks about the mystery of Israel's blindness, first of all, in Romans chapter 11. Well, you know what? You can't find anything about Israel being blinded apart from the Apostle Paul. Why was he blinded? Why were they blinded? That salvation might come to the Gentiles. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about the mystery of the rapture. That's what we're going to look at in a minute. He talks about Ephesians 1:9, the mystery of his will. You can't find anything about God's will for your life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say, "Oh, that's blasphemous." You can't, folks. I mean, come on, think about it. What did he tell the people? Take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. And Paul comes on the scene and says, "Man doesn't work, neither should he eat."
Amen.
That don't sound like the same to me. In reference to prayer, he said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask, ye shall have it." Paul prayed for something 3 times and God never gave it to him. I mean, there's differences. Over there in Matthew 6, he said, if you don't forgive men your trespasses, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Paul said, he's forgiven us all trespasses. You can't find God. If you try to pattern your life after the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to end up in a mess. That's why there's so much confusion today. People claiming promises that were never made to them, and therefore they end up discouraged and despondent. Last night I heard the announcement about Brother Bill. And I didn't really put two and two together until I was on Facebook this morning and I saw where Laura had posted about his death. Now, I know people talk about the internet and Facebook and all that and how bad it is. There's a lot of junk out there. But two or three years ago, I met Laura on Facebook. And she wanted to know if there was any grace believers around him anywhere. And I said, well, I know Brother Byron Wiggins is down in that area. And she began to listen to Barry, I believe, at that time on the internet some. And so... I came to realize that that's who was being talked about last night. That man had seen the truth of salvation and had trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And in our conversations that we had, many times she would mention the joy of being free from the burden of religion that had them enslaved. Brother Bill really, as I said, he's resting today in the Lord. Thank God that there was a man who was willing to go on TV and preach the gospel of the grace of God. I know numerous people that have been saved through Les Felix's ministry because he preaches a clear-cut presentation of the gospel.
Is he dead?
The point is, folks, the mystery of God's will has to do with what God desires for you and I. He said, preach the word, hence in this season, out of season. The mystery of Christ in the church, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ in God, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of the faith, the mystery of godliness. All of those things. Now I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll wrap up with this. Look those up sometimes and just look at those things in relation to the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that includes all of these individual mysteries. That's what the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery is about. It's not just one component. It's not just about salvation by grace. It has to do with all that we are, all that we will be, our hope, our eternity. All of that is outlined through Paul's epistles. And you don't find it elsewhere. I find it interesting. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. Mm-hmm. Well, immediately people say, well, is it really a mystery? In other words, resurrection, we just read back there in the book of Job, didn't we? Didn't Job look forward to the resurrection?
Oh, yeah.
Resurrection wasn't a mystery. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Then I see that as some new information.
Amen.
That had not previously been revealed. Amen. He said, I got some good news for you. Not only is there the resurrection that we've been looking forward to, but you don't even have to die to get it. Amen. Every funeral I go to, I pray that this will be the last funeral that I ever have to go to. I like what Brother Brian said years ago. I'd rather go by the cloud than by the clod.
Amen.
I mean, I know where I'm going, but what bothers me is the trip getting there.
That's right.
You know, none of us want to suffer. We don't want to lose loved ones. But come on, folks. We have a hope. And that hope is the rapture of the church. And that was preached and taught for many years. And I find that not many people are teaching it like they used to because the year 2000 rolled around and everybody supposed that it was going to happen by then. And so now people are like Peter said over there. They're scoffers and they say, everything continues as it always has. Well, you just need to remember something. Our calendar is not God's calendar.
Amen.
I still believe there's going to be the rapture of the church.
Amen.
And I believe it's going to be before the tribulation.
Amen.
And I believe that because he said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So somebody says, oh, Wait a minute, that last trump, you know where that is, don't you? That's over there in Revelations. That's over in the book of Revelation, and there's seven trumps. And so after the last trump, that's the end of the tribulation. Now, hold on here and get in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, there's some things people just complicate that don't need to be complicated. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That's the largest denomination in the world, ignorant brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Where's the marker? I guess Byron Nate.
I'm looking, but I don't find it.
Oh, down here, got it hid. According to the passage, who's going to rise first?
Dead.
Somebody said they got six feet to make up, so. Dead in Christ, going when? First. What did the Lord come with? A trump. First Thessalonians 4 again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Who goes up second? We which are alive shall be caught up together. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When Paul is writing this letter, is he writing to dead people or people that are alive?
Alive.
Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We. Who's we? Those that are alive shall not all sleep, but we shall what? All be changed in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, when?
That's the last trump.
Folks, there's just two of them there. The first trumpet sounds, they come out of the grave. Trumpet sounds, those that are alive, first and last. That's not hard. It's not complicated. You see, people read words and they say, well, the last trump, well, I know a trumpet over there. Come on, folks, that's all prophecy. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery.
Amen.
Therefore, everything Paul is saying here about this resurrection to do with information that was not previously made known. Get your head in the book and understand that you need, and the world needs today, is to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to prophecy. That's Israel's program. That is not ours.
That's right.
God Almighty saved us by His Son Jesus Christ and His shed blood. People who were outside the covenant's promise, without hope and without God in the world, and our information is contained in Paul's epistles. And I want to tell you, I thank God for that, because I was under that bondage of religion, believing that I had to confess my sins, walking the aisle on a weekly basis, because I was a scoundrel and I had to go up every week and pray and confess. And finally, I saw that Christ died for my sins, was buried and raised again the third day. And I saw that because somebody preached unto me the gospel of the grace of God and the word rightly divided.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If you've never trusted that, I hope you'll do it right now.
Yes, amen. Amen. Thank you.